Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ilona Europa, Accent On London edition, Accent on LA Talk Radio, every Monday from 6 till 7 p.m. Pacific time. Please tune in live to our show, radio show, and whoever has Facebook, please tune in to Facebook. Then you can see us, see our faces, and know how great we are when we talk, when we smile, and we are excited about our projects. Today, I am very, very, very happy to have a wonderful guest with me. He's my friend. I worked with him on some of his very important projects. His name is Andrzej Kozłowski. Hi, Andrzej.
Hello, everyone.
And you are, I am in London, you are talking from?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. You are lucky because obviously we know that Los Angeles, the sunny, sunny part of the world, always is beautifully warm, and I'm in London. I'm not used to too much of so much rain and darkness, but I think like most of us, hopefully COVID is going away. Hopefully we will be planning some type of vacation. You don't need to. You are every day on a vacation schedule. But we,
it's a little bit different because when you have, you remember that, I mean, you have great weather every day and you tend just take it for granted, and having four seasons, I remember, you know, you get a certain sunny day and it just prompts you to jump and do stuff and move. You appreciate it better.
And you are right. We both are originally from Poland, so you are right. We are used to four seasons. So I think I just would like to invite everybody to not be afraid to book some vacations. And I have a place that maybe I can recommend. It's called Apartello. Apartello.com. This is a place that people who want to see, visit a vacation in Bulgaria or in Warsaw, they can find amazing, amazing apartments for rent and just enjoy the time in Bulgaria or in Warsaw. So I cannot wait to do that. I'm hoping that maybe in August they will be safe. So first things what I will do, I will go to apartello.com and just look for the coolest, the sweetest apartment close to the sea. Did you ever visit Bulgaria?
Actually not, but I remember from my youth that those are the best fruits coming from Bulgaria, and someday I want to go and just eat up.
That's good. That's so cool. You know, I know that we all dream about vacations. We are afraid to just even think that this is will be allowed. So we are naturally in home right now, and we are spending our time enjoying, mostly watching Netflix, TV, and we cannot go to movies easily. We cannot at all. But you are the person that I think I can talk about the passion for movies, passion and whole your journey from Poland to Hollywood is very, very unusual. Yes, you are director, you are film producer, and like we think, he's now in Hollywood, in Los Angeles, probably, you know, life is easy, everything is great. In a way, it is, but the journey that got you from Poland into Hollywood, into the beautiful, beautiful business of movie making is not so easy, or maybe it was easy. Could you tell us a little bit your life story? So, you were born in what town in Poland?
It wasn't, although, you know, you look back and you think, oh, okay, it happened. But I think it's typical to every person who moved from, any immigrant, they basically have book to write. And in my case, I don't know, was more difficult or less difficult than others. I was a political refugee, and that means that I was actually I found myself being in Norway. That my case, so to speak, was discovered by then, you know, communist country services, and that it's not good for me to put it mildly to go back to Poland. And then I had to decide what to do.
So this was the '80s, because for people who listen to us, they don't know.
Yes, it was long ago. It was
no. This is, I don't believe that history ever is long ago. History is what people are interested in. So I think any period, especially in Polish history, it's just very important, not only to us, but mostly to Europe. And now we know that to whole world, because in a way, Poland changed a little bit the situation in the whole world in '80s. So I know that you were studying not filmmaking, yes, in Poland?
No, in Poland I was studying architecture, but I also was involved deeply in underground. And, you know, you can tell it even today that people are political and talk, but it's when it's easy. And that was a safe time. But then there was martial law in Poland. And suddenly there were not that many people who would just stick out. And being a person that I hate politics generally, but it felt that that's the thing, the time to do something.
Poland. What year did you leave Poland?
What I'm talking about, the beginning of activities, of course, 1981, when the martial law began in Poland, and then my activity in underground solidarity began. But I left Poland on December
1986. Okay. And you left to Norway?
I had through Denmark. I had friends in Norway. I worked there a little bit in an architectural office. And then I realized that I cannot go back. And I wanted to go to France for some reason, because France had like the best cultural ties historically with Poland. Solidarity on exile headquarters were in Poland. Historically, France is special to Poland. And so I thought, why? How am I going to do? I could not get French visa. It would be like 3 months waiting, and my Norwegian visa was about to be expired, so I had to do something. I wanted to do everything legally. And I did not want to ask for asylum in Norway, because that's, you know, when you are likely to stay, the country where you ask for the asylum. At least at that time, that's how it was. So the only visa I could, the French said, okay, we can give you visa in 3 months, but you have to go back to Warsaw if you want it earlier. And I couldn't go back to Poland, so I basically, the only quick visa I could get was Portuguese visa. I spent all my money for the ticket to Portugal, almost all my money. And in 3 months, I was to pick up French visa and transit visa through Spain in Lisbon, Portugal. So I went there, and of course I didn't speak Portuguese. I had to survive for 3 months. Right at the beginning, I almost died. And it's so interesting, because I'm in Norway. I used to look, talking to everybody, looking up. Suddenly, I'm in Portugal, and I'm taller than everybody else. But on the first day, I just didn't know what to do. At the airport, some people agreed to take me somewhere away from the airport, and I didn't know what to ask. And so I asked them to drop me off the beach. And that's where they dropped me off. I buried my things in the sand. and had my whole next day to think what to do next. And I was walking back and forth. And toward the end of the day, I met the people who dropped me off. And they looked at me scary. They say, you're completely burnt from the sun. You're going to get really sick. So they were very kind. They took me home. It was interesting, funny, because when we get my things, I had them buried in the sand and some people were laying them. So I asked them to move and you should imagine their faces when I was digging in the sand and then removing my bag from it. Next day, the things, I really got sick. I mean, I was so sick, I was all blown up, swollen. I could not tell where my knee is, to that point that my legs were so swollen, I didn't know where my knee is. And I was afraid. They all said, we'll take you to a Polish consulate. And that was the last thing I wanted. But after a few days, I recovered and then took my journey through Portugal, going to the south first, and I had to learn Portuguese really quick because I need to survive. So I worked, of course. I would find odd jobs and just to survive. Because the money that I brought with me, all the money that it was the cost of the visa. That's all. And after 3 months, surely enough, I went to Lisbon and the visa was there, and I hitchhiked through Spain to France. In France at the beginning, I was just sleeping in parks, and then I met some French people who basically said, okay, you can stay with us. And I did. They helped me to find the French. Well, basically went with me to police to translate, because the French police does not speak any language. I didn't speak any language except for some Portuguese and Polish and Russian at that point. I asked for the political asylum, and that was the beginning of it. And later on, I figured out how to talk to the, how to find the Polish headquarters of Solidarity in Paris, and just told them what's going on with me, and they would help me to eventually confirm my case. Because of course a lot of people could claim that they are political refugees, but they would not be. Most people would just leave their country to make their life better for economical reasons. And part of the being in France under political asylum was learning French. In Alliance Française, there was a school for learning French. And one of those days, someone met me there. Someone asked to talk with me, and he said that he's representing some of organizations, American organization, and would I like to go to the United U.S. instead of staying in France. And it was very difficult, because by the time I met a lot of French people, I spoke some French, and I was in France altogether 7 months, and it was just very difficult, and also it was hard to, I felt like I'm hurting the feelings of the French people, saying that I prefer to be in the U.S. than in France. And I remember one conversation, because the sister of one of the people I knew, we had evening dinner, and the French are amazing, because, you know, I think when I live with French people, I think maybe, I mean, five times we ate alone. There was always a guest, or we would go somewhere. They love to talk. And One of the women in one of those dinners was a woman who for a long time working in the United States. She worked for the Figaro, Le Figaro, big French newspaper. And I sort of said, okay, what should I do? And she said, I'd never forget that. If you want to spend your life talking, stay in France. If you want to spend your life working, go to France. To America. Okay. If you want to spend your life talking, stay in France. If you want to spend your life working, go to the US. And at the time I thought I have so many things to do. I wanted to be in the movies. That was a big dream. And so I said, all right, so I guess I go to America.
This is an amazing story because it's not like took you 5 years, 4 years, the journey from Poland. You had fast change.
Yeah, it was very fast. I mean, from the initial conversation with this man, Italian Francais, 2 months later, I was landing in the United States.
And what town did you land?
You would not choose, the town was New York.
Okay.
And I came, I didn't know how to describe it. I thought it's a new life.
Yeah.
And I wanted to come to America, like to new life, newborn. So I shaved my head. I was completely bald, shaved. And I gave up all my belongings, meaningful belongings at the airport. So I basically went without money, counting on all the promises that they were giving to me. So I had no money. I had some books in my bag and like five t-shirts, five, under everything five, just so to have it. And that was it. And interestingly enough, symbolically, I came by a plane the code was Air France AF007. And everyone says, oh, it's so symbolic, and I, at that point, I did not know what 007 means. because the movies I liked were different movies. There were Bergman, Fellini, Truffaut, some Polish cinema. Not the action films. So I landed in. I still remember, half of the plane was chartered by that organization. So the back of it was all the immigrants to America, and the front was the regular travelers, mostly American tourists. And the first thing I remember is that when we landed, our place was so clean. All the immigrants took their trash and everything. And then we reached the portion that we were going through. It was just full of trash. I mean, your ankles deep. Those are different days too, because the airlines would give you a lot of stuff, not like today. And we were met by the representative of the organization. And actually, everyone left and moved on somewhere else. And only four of us was to stay in New York. There was me, one Polish guy, a Hungarian couple, and one Romanian guy. And we all communicated in French. And it was interesting because the guy, it was the first bad treatment. The guy took us to some place by the wall, and said, okay, wait for me here. So we sat and started to wait. And he came back 6 hours later. Mm-hmm. He just didn't care. He basically, it transpired was he was waiting for another plane, I guess, and took other people to their place, and they came back to pick us. But we're all hungry, and I didn't have any money, and he took us to where we're going to stay. And my place was a place that organization would rent. I was given a mattress on the floor, and he gave me a blanket. I still have this blanket. And a token, an address, information how to get to their office next day. But I was hungry, and I didn't have money. I didn't know what to do. So I left, and walked around, and there was a trash can and slice of pizza in it, unfinished. And that was my first food in America.
And you were in your 20s, yes? Late 20s?
No, I was already, what was it? The year was 87, so I was 30.
You were barely 30?
I was 30 years old.
I hope that people are following your story, because not so often I'm talking so beautifully personal stuff with my guests. Mostly people just avoid this part. They like to move very fast to the successful part of the journey, which for you and us, we are getting there. And I know, you know, years in America in the beginning probably were not easy for you. And this is like almost a time for another interview. But I would like for people to really understand that most people who are coming from another countries, they don't have easy life for a long, long time. And it's not like, hey, you know, oh, now you are successful. Sometimes we don't even want to say how hard it was for us to even get food, like you said. And you are a very, very well-educated person that comes from really great country of Poland, you know. Yeah. Culture country of Poland who was in a trouble in this time politically, then you are moving to all of these countries trying to find a place where you can really settle. You are, like you say, barely 30 years old. Now you are moved from country to country. Now you are in America, and you are still dreaming and holding in your hands till this day, so many years ago, a blanket that you were covered and lying on a mattress only with no money, no nothing. So I think this is like almost perfect scenario for another movie for you when you will decide to write and produce it, because I know how passionate you are. And in a way, I want to talk about your, the biggest project of your life till this day, the movie that is called One. But before we will get to this project, did you really put so much work, so much energy, and I'm saying this was your independent film and dream of your life, so unusual, so special, so not ordinary, just one of the kind movie. One. It's called One.
Yes.
But before you got
here's the poster.
You got a poster behind, and why I'm so also excited, because I'm in a way part of this movie. I landed
beautiful
a voice
part.
As a singer. I sang in a final scene of the movie. We don't want to say how dramatic this scene was, but trust me, people, amazing. Me singing to the dance of the main actress and her last moments in the movie.
Well, it's about 10 minutes before the end of the film, but it's just
built up the 3 minutes dance of this woman, body of this woman, story of her whole going through the movie. It's so tense. I think I did it everything what I could to make this.
You did amazing work. And I played that song to so many people, and response is always amazing.
I am so proud of this project. And also, it was not only me, only we had Krzysztof Demski.
Yes.
Which this is one of the most known Polish musicians in the world and in Poland, in Europe. So he played violin in this movie.
But the song is just indication how strange things happen, how strangely they happen. I was in Poland and I was recording music for some other scenes. I raised some money on Kickstarter to go to record this, one of the favorite musicians of my life. Zbigniew Namysłowski, who is a saxophonist and musician whom critics like Willis Conover would list in the same sentence with John Coltrane, just amazing musician. And he agreed to record a solo for another scene, a prayer scene. And I was there doing that, and while I was there, Krzesimir Dębski agreed just on the spot to do some violin for introduction of the film and another important scene that comes after our song scene. And then someone, while I was actually leaving, someone just told me that, look, I have a friend who's a musician, and you have that scene there, and maybe he would record the music for that particular scene, the dance scene. And for a long time, I tried to find somebody who would do that music. But I was already on my way to Poland, back to Poland. So we talk over the phone. I sent him the clip of the dance, and we talk what it's supposed to be like and everything. And he was whistling the song to me, then he played some rudimental guitar on it. And when he said, okay, this is it, he recorded all kinds of instruments in a studio. The studio
the
quality.
Gentleman name is Radek Kopeć.
Radek Kopeć.
Yes, need to say thank you.
Radek Kopeć.
For that.
Great guy.
Krzesimir Dębski.
Great guy, great composer.
Played by Krzesimir Dębski.
But then what, that's what happened. That's interesting because that clip of Radek Kopeć, it sounds very upbeat. Just as I asked him, and then we said, okay, well, could someone do something, add something to it? And I called Krzesimir Dębski, and he said, sure, I'll do it. And he used another session of his that he had, and he just put the violin on it. And my God, you suddenly, it just shows you how every instrument, everything matters, because suddenly the feel of that music was so completely different. And of course, I needed the hero, something that would really, really make connection with the person that was dancing. And we met, and you said, yeah, I will find the recording place, I will do it. And I just couldn't believe it. But you want, I don't think it's my movie. I think I'm part of the movie. I'm serving the movie. So I want everything best for the film. And I remember saying, well, just so you know, that was part of, you know, deal with Radek. That was part of the deal with Krzesimir Dębski, that if it, I think it doesn't work, I'm not going to use it. And when we went to record it, you just open your mouth. And from the first note, I knew that this is it. It was so beautiful, so amazing. Gut-wrenching, really. That's how this song is.
this is like, to me, I know being in a studio with Bob Waits in Agora, he's great, our great friend right now, who also work with us recording this song. Yes, but watching the main actor going through so much pain, through the dance, through her own dance, and knowing, I knew a little bit about the movie and knew how important it was to just bring this tension, pain, and giving my voice to try to accommodate what you may hoped for. That was a big, big, you know, important part of me singing. And I know I did very, very well. I can say
you did an amazing job. I mean,
thank you so much.
Singers, I have friends singers, and they basically basically they say, when I talk about the song, because we're saying song, but since the movie has no dialogue throughout all 100 minutes, the song also did not have any words. So imagine how difficult it is to give a meaning of something without words. I mean, the best exercise anyone can do is just to sit next to somebody else and try to convey anything with your body.
Right. It was a big challenge, and we accomplished it. So let's go back to talk about movie. The name is...
The name is one, but it's not the word one. It's the digit one.
Yes. So we see the number, we see poster behind you, and what is so different from this movie, from another movie? So you put...
The movie is different from any movie.
Idea.
I'm sorry.
Yes, can you tell us how this idea for the movie came up into your heart and head, and then about the process of producing the movie, process of producing independent movie, the dream of your life? Movie is amazing. And maybe we can right away say that people can see the parts of the pictures and story behind the movie by going to the website for the movie. What is the website?
It's the movie number and then digit one. So it's themovie1.com. That's the website.
And also
you can go to IMDb.
So please, I will post this information on Facebook, and for people who listen to us all around the world on LA Talk Radio, they heard the website link. So one more time, can you tell us one more time clearly if somebody wants to see and learn about movie one, that where we need to go? Where?
TheMovie1.com. One long word.
Wonderful. And obviously, I will be playing our dance song, and hopefully I can get out a video from the movie and insert to our Zoom interview for people who can watch us. But for people who will listen to us all around the world, they will hear this song, and now they will understand a little bit why this was the song that was so important and why it was so painful and so unusually cool to work with this great artist to create a really beautiful, beautiful song for almost close scene in the movie. So please, I really want from your mouth to people's ears, describe all the process from moment when you decided you have this idea to create a movie, 100 minutes of the movie, and no one wore. And this is not a silent movie.
It's not a silent. And also, ever since, there were some movies that are on the verge. I know that Skolimowski made a movie that has basically no dialogue, but that's not my influence, because my movie was shot years before him. I mean, to finish this movie took years. But generally, you know, coming from Poland, we have this... idea, at least me with my friends and my circle, was the need of contribution to society. And that was my mark also when I was in New York and when I was driving yellow cab at night and going to NYU film school during the day. And from that point, I got some friendships. One is still big friendship, and that's the director of photography for this movie, Spencer Snick. Great guy. It was a time we made some short films, and it was a time to do something big, the full-length film, because you don't exist as an author of a short film. And I thought about what would be my contribution, what is the most difficult, what would Steven Spielberg or other big guys never dare to do. And I thought, well, that will be a movie without any dialogue. Because in film school, when you work with actors, the biggest deal, it's all words, words, words. But how to show it without the words? I mean, try to show anything without words. That's ultimate challenge. And I was inspired also by, you know, I read about American writer Truman Capote. His last finished book, when he was about to write it, in Cold Blood, he wanted to change how people read books. And my idea was, I want to not change, because you don't make change, but contribute to some change how people watch movies. That it's more to it. There are some layers of everything you see. Because most movies, especially Hollywood movies, I mean, you leave a theater, you spend some time, but then there is nothing to talk about. And so I wanted to make something that was never done. And what would be the simple, what would carry the movie? And the movie, I want it to be like sunset. What I mean by that is I wanted it to be familiar, like sunset, that people could relate to it. And beautiful, like sunset. And yet for those who can reach deeper, as profound as sunset. I mean, you can imagine, I mean, sunset is the same thing every day, but you never get bored of it, because it's always different. And it is because you don't say enough about it. You don't know enough about it. So I thought you have to make a movie that you don't give the audience all the knowledge. You say as little as possible through body language and stuff. And amazing thing is that today we had some screenings. It was screened also on Polish Film Festival, LA. And people were very vocal about finding out how much you can say without words.
100%. You are so right. And you know what? When you watch this movie, I'm hoping we'll talk about this movie, because I believe that sooner or later the world will see this movie and fall in love with this movie and concept of this movie. That what you say, that words are unnecessary sometimes. And sometimes when we sit in silence, practically, not only we think through the silence so much that we can figure out really what we want from life, and people who watch people being tense, thinking or being really into moment so much, makes us also adore people like that, and we want to be part of their tension and problem, or help them sometimes. So the dialogue in a movie doesn't exist, like you said. This is an action drama. So I want people to know, like your poster behind you says, this is an action drama and has 99 minutes. Then is no narration and no single word of dialogue. Dialogue exists there, but also makes us think through whole movie. And when we stop watching this movie, makes us talk about this movie and think about this movie even more. And dialogues were not there. So we create our own dialogues with ourselves, a person who watched this movie, because it just makes us comfortable, uncomfortable, makes us think, makes us cry and makes us being scared. All the emotions are in this movie. And you created them. And you created this movie, I understand, in 12 days. You produced this movie in 12 days.
Yes. I mean, if I can just add to it, there were people coming to a screening. We had a test screening at one of the universities here. And there were some people who were not warned that, that there is no dialogue. Some of this were surprised at the end of the movie to learn that no one said anything. They did not realize that no one talks because they, of intensity of the film. And also, I think, from childhood, when we learn, when we name things, when we are taught what is what, we basically limit the meaning of everything. And when we faced with something that has no description, suddenly we come back to the very rudimental appreciation of our life, of things that are important, or not important, but whatever they are. Because in the situation, the whole so-called plot of the film is simple, but because they are small, there is no dialogue and there is no narration. So there are small things that your audience has to feel in their mind what it means to them. Those ambiguities add up like, and the movie becomes like an iceberg when only the tip of it is seen and the rest you create yourself in your heart.
100%. Yes, and I am biggest fan of first of your soul, because you have a very deep soul. You are in Los Angeles, and I don't know if you will stay forever there. I think you got lots of great stuff going on there. I'm always hoping that your movie will be welcome in all film festivals, independent film festivals, and then will be discovered and moved directly to Cannes, to the biggest film festivals all around the world. Why not? So I'm hoping if somebody watches us that has something to do with film industry, please get interested and just check the website for the movie and contact Andrzej. Okay, you can contact through me or Andrzej Cook. How people can get in contact with you? Please tell us your email right now for people who...
It's A44... Kozlowski, which is Kozlowski at yahoo.com.
That's very easy. Or, of course, go to Accent on the Facebook or just connect with me, Ilona Europa. You will find a way. Or go to, again, to website, and then you'll find a way how to find Andrzej and just maybe talk about how to make this film to be seen, all around the world. Andrzej Cook. Time is running out. It's crazy. We can talk about this movie, which is very, very cool project, but I know that you have something unusual.
But like also, I want to finish because you asked me about the how long it took to do it. The productions of movie that is full feature takes 3 months. We shot the whole film in 12 days. That we had great understanding with the director of photography, who's a friend of mine. He's a big part of it. I really do know how to work with actors. One of the advantages, and I think most of the actors, if not all of them, they did their performance of lifetime. Right. And if you watch the movie, I think you can appreciate how you almost watch real, you feel like you watch real people. You don't get the idea that you watch acting at any point.
Wonderful.
It's huge achievement.
Yes, so again, everybody go to the website, film website, and hopefully we will be watching scene from the movie with my vocals, and if we can do it, if I can do it, I will post a trailer on Facebook so people can watch the two. And now, let's talk about something that you really, really want people to know, about your book. You have on Amazon. So tell us about this project.
This is a little book called A Fable for Someone Who Is Liked Very Much. It is on Amazon. If you Google the title, you should be able to find it there. it's the book to, you know, you always wait for somebody to, what would be the biggest compliment of your work? And I can't imagine bigger compliment to your, to, for a writer of book like that to be compared to Antoine de Saint-Exupéry's Little Prince. And on the Amazon, the, you know, asking people to write a review is like pulling teeth. But some people, I have already some neighborhood of 20 reviews, although the, it was available for only like past 3 months. And people do compare it to Little Prince, which is to me the highest possible prize.
So one more time, title of the book?
A Fable for Someone Who Is Liked Very Much.
Oh, that's so sweet. So everybody,
if you get this book, I guarantee you, you're giving somebody a good gift. And even if they don't like the book, they turn it around and it becomes a notebook for someone who is liked very much. And there are pages to write on. So this book will never be available on any electronic form. It will never be available in any different way that it's hardcover, that hardcover, because it's a thing to have. It's a,
it's a great present, and great thing that you want to keep close to on your table and just look inside and just make some notes. You know, you have place for everything there. But I really think this is like big surprise. So I will send people again to Amazon. And clearly, one more time, the title of the book is
A Fable for Someone Who Is Liked Very Much.
Okay, beautiful. I think we have no more time.
Yeah. All right.
That's so cute. No more time for today's show. So I know you will be back. I cannot wait for people who, film festival people and from Poland, all students, they need to see this movie because they will be talking about this movie forever. And that's what we want. And people will be thinking when they finish this movie, they will be thinking what they love, what they hated, why this movie just got them, you know, uncomfortable, comfortable, and just, they will be very, very surprised. It's a really special, special project. So let's do that. Let's make people hope that they can see this movie. And I cannot wait when you have another screening in America. So maybe we'll one day put a link so people can go there. Maybe another film festival can really do screening for you so more people can see it. That's all what we can do for right now, because world is opening up, and obvious for one, world will open up soon. So today, thank you so much, Andrzej Kozłowski. We were talking to a film producer, and you had three titles from all Hollywood movie production that you work on, because you work on few of them. So Family Guy, yes?
Family Guy, yes. I worked from the beginning for the first seasons, and then it was dissolved. And I, in episode 9, I'm actually, there is a character called Kozłowski.
There was a 21, you were working, yes? On
And then 24, I worked from the beginning, from the pilot and first 5 seasons. Then I work on a lot of productions from Disney productions, all in capacity of post-production mainly, because it was all, this job for me was planning to make movies and being able to get connections and cut corners in costs, because post-production is the most expensive.
And you did it. So you did it that from the dream of the 30 years old gentleman who left Poland in a very unusual situation, political situation, through your dream, through all these years, you are sitting, and behind you, you have a poster of your own independent movie. And that's like, I think, just the biggest things that ever somebody can achieve when you dream hard, because you had 100% understanding what you wanted to do. And with people's help, of course, you achieve this dream. So congratulations. We wish you the best, and being number one eventually on one of the, you know, film bookshelves. that everybody wants them. Until next conversation, okay? So have a beautiful Easter. And
you too. Thank you very much.
See you soon, if not in Europe, in Poland, maybe in Los Angeles soon, okay? Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All the best.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.